another Lord's Day that we're able to come together. God has blessed us, watched over us, cared for us, and permitted us that we might come together at this time. We've come together because we have scripture that teaches us that we are. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached them ready to part on the morrow. So we've come together to remember our Savior, that he was resurrected, that he did rise again, at this time at the right hand of God. Time swiftly passes away. Eternity is always. So we're an eternity-bound people. And that's our purpose this morning, that we might prepare for that eternity. We appreciate your presence, and I trust that you'll listen very closely as we teach this morning. I want to teach from the book of Ephesians this morning. I taught here Wednesday night, a couple of Wednesday nights ago, on about the first seven verses, I believe it was. And this is a very interesting teaching. The Apostle Paul is a writer here, and actually what we teach this morning will be what the Apostle Paul taught. And that's what we're to do. We're to discuss the scriptures, teach the scriptures, in order that man might understand them. And so we're going to begin, I believe it is, with verse 8 that we have here. And let's notice now what the Apostle Paul says further in this. Now, first of all, in the earlier part of the chapter, of course, his introduction and so forth, and he talked about God having predestinated a group of people to serve him. And of course, those people are those that obey him. And he did this according to the good pleasure of his will. And then Paul pointed out that we have redemption through him, through Jesus Christ. So it's through Jesus Christ only that we can be saved. In verse 7, he said there, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we studied that there, and I want to begin now with verse 8 here. Now, this is very important that we study this way, because that's how that we learn what we as Christians are to do. He said, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, he hath abounded toward us. Now, it points out here this. Now, this word abounded means exceeding. That is, this has an idea here of things or something that's over and above. And so it's a certain number or a fixed number to exceed that number. Now we find here that it refers here, this wherein does, back to grace of verse 7, where it said, wherein he hath abounded us in all wisdom and prudence, that is in the grace that is mentioned there in verse 7. I believe that that refers to that. And when we think about this, certainly that is rich. Now, wisdom here is broad and full intelligence. Now, Thayer says concerning this word, when it refers to God or used of God, that is supreme intelligence, such as belongs to God. It's far beyond my understanding, far beyond my mortal mind, that I might understand the great intelligence of God, the great wisdom that God has, and all of those things. Now, prudence here is understanding, insight in the true nature of things. Now, if we didn't have the Word of God this morning, if Christ did not come, I would not know anything about nature, so to speak. I do not know too much about the world or eternity, but we have an insight of that. I would not know what the purpose of this life was. I would not know that there was a life hereafter. So it's been given to us in that. And God here has done this. Now this wisdom and prudence with which he abundantly puts upon his followers. Now it's not limited what you and I can understand. It's not limited what you and I can learn. That's not limited at all. In fact, it's unlimited. We do not understand it. So he hath bounded us in all wisdom and prudence. And that's one thing that we can be assured of, that the Word of God is true. God has preserved it. People ask the question, how do we know that down through the years of time that the Word has been kept right? Well, we know it because of God's providence and what he can do, and we'll go into that more in just a few moments. All right, let's notice now in verse 9 what he points out. He said, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. What? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Notice that there. What is mystery? It's a hidden thing, secret. Mystery, hidden purpose of counsel, a secret will. Now, in the New Testament, God's plan of providing salvation for men through Christ, which was once hidden but now is revealed. I want you to know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of those prophets, and even John the Baptist, some of them, they told about the church. They prophesied about the church, but that was still a mystery to them. They didn't understand it. And it had been prophesied down through the stream of time till Christ come, that he would come. Man cannot understand that. Now, it's told us, it's pointed out to us, that this world can end, that we'll die. Does anybody here know how it feels to die? No. Do we know how it is after we die? I'm thinking about it a lot. But we don't know. It's hidden, but it'll be revealed. Someday we'll know. And those that passed on for us, they know. Now this here hath made known to us the mystery of his will. Man cannot fully understand what his will was. Now, this is something which is not understood until revealed. Now, they couldn't understand how that Christ would die. They couldn't understand how there'd be a church. They couldn't understand that until it was revealed. Now, and when revealed, it's not difficult of being understood by the Spirit-enlightened believer. Now, here's the point. This was hidden from us. The New Testament was hidden from us, church, so forth. But when it's revealed, it's not hard to understand. It's not hard to understand the Bible. But people say, the Bible's hard to understand. Oh, no, it's not. The only reason it's hard to understand is because people won't study it. They won't listen to it. That's the reason it's hard to understand. But those that are children of God, they can understand. I want you to know, God gave us this so we can understand it. It's no longer a mystery. It's no longer a mystery. Christ dying on the cross, we can just see him in our eyes and mind. We can see him hanging there, that blood, water coming forth, looking out over those people and saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. We can just see that, can't we? We can see the church, how we come together today. I want you to know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all those people, they would like to have attended a service like this. Yes, sir. Because they were humble people, and they would like that. But it was a mystery. Now, when this mystery then, the mystery of the redemption in Christ, belonging to the eternal plan of God, could be known to men only through revelation or making known. So it was only God that could make that known unto us. It was only God, through Christ, could make that known. Now notice, he says further here, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now, pleasure is will, choice, in particular goodwill, kindly intent, benevolence. It means that which seems good or well to one. Yes, thus the delight, the pleasure, and satisfaction which God has in blessed saints is found in the fact that what he does for them is dictated by what is good for them. And I want you to know, God knew it was good for us to come together on the first day of the week. He knew that. And we need to understand that too. I want to tell you something. This gathering this morning is something that's sacred and so forth. Frances and I were talking last night, and she was raised in the Baptist church, and she is talking about in the Depression years when they went to church, and while they was at church, it was a place of reverence to them. Even though they were wrong denomination and so forth. But I want you to know, it was something that was reverent. They knew that. And I'll tell you, sometimes in the church, we better be careful in all this carrying on or anything. We don't do it here. But I used to go to a place, they'd talk, cut up for a few days, but I soon got it straightened out. It's my duty to do that. I want you to know, this is different than any place you've ever been. Yes, sir. Why? Because it's a good pleasure of his will. He's doing this for our good. He knew what would be good for me. When he told me not to do certain things here, he knew what was good for me. And I'll tell you, when I obey that, it is good for me, isn't it? Yes, sir. The good pleasure of his will. And I'll tell you what, he's dictated what's good for us. And oftentimes people, they want to question God. Well, why did he do this? Why did he do that? I don't even question it. I just do it because he said to. Because as he's purposed in his heart here, or as he's purposed in himself. Now, he purposed this. This good pleasure God purposed in himself. The purpose is God's own free determination originating in his own gracious mind. And it was in the mind of God that he did this. And isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Man could have never have figured this out. And so God did this according to his good pleasure. And I want you to know, regardless of what man thinks, regardless of what man thinks about this Lord's Supper, regardless of what he thinks about how we sung and how the brother led a good prayer, how I'm teaching, regardless of how they think, what they think about that, it is the good pleasure of God. Oh, man's come along these last several hundred years, and he can improve upon God's plan, and he can make it better, and he can attract more people and everything. I want you to know God knew what it was. God knew what he wanted to do to draw people to him. He knew what it would take to make them spiritually, and it was according to his good pleasure of his own will as he has purposed in himself. All right, let's go to the next verse and notice here that in the dispensation of the fullest times, he might gather together in one. What? What? Gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I want to tell you something. That's not me speaking. That's the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit from God that said that, that he might gather together in one. This word dispensation carries with it the idea of two Greek words, and one is house and the other is law. The compound word means the management of a household or of household affairs, the management, oversight, administration of others' property, the office of a manager, overseer, stewardship. So, what has he done? He speaks of the method by which God administers the particular time referred to in the words, the fullness of time. Now, what God did, he prepared for this. This is no haphazard thing. This is not something just happened overnight. This is something that God prepared for. Even though one day, as a thousand years, one day, he still prepared it. He looked forward to. He planned it. And every plan has worked out perfect. And isn't it something how that man has come along? And he can tell us when it's going to be a full moon, quarter moon. He can tell us when there's going to be a change of different things in the orbits. Why? Because of what God has planned and set there, he has been able to do that. Now, he's done this. And he's done this for a reason. Now, in the divine arrangement of time adjusted to the economy of salvation, the pre-appointed period which God to the purpose, which according to the purpose of God must allow before the divine kingdom could be founded by Christ, the several parts of this period. Why did Christ come when he did? Perfect time. Certain things had to happen. That brought it all together. When he's going to come again? I get amused. These fellas want to predict and set a certain date that Christ's going to come, the world's going to end, all that, and they've all missed it because they can't figure it out. But I'll tell you what, when that time comes, that'll be it. There's no human on this earth, no army on this earth, nothing that can stop that. So is a moment when the successive ages before the gospel dispensation are completed when that is done. Now, before that, and here's what he's going to bring up. There was Jews, children of Israel, Gentiles. You and I are all Gentiles, so to speak. But there was Jews. They were separated. They despised each other. But you know what? This right here brought them together. And that's what he done. He gathered them together in one. Not in all kinds of denominations. Some 1,400, I believe it is now, right here in the United States. I want you to know that's not God's plan. And these signs and these people that talk, go to church your choice and all that, that's foreign from the Bible. That has nothing to do with it. I want you to know this. He wants everyone under the sound of my voice, including me. He wants us to be the same, same mind, same judgment. Get us together in one. And the only way we can do that is through this Word of God. That's the only way we can is through the Word of God. And so he wanted them there. God has said to bring together again for himself. He's going to bring together again for himself all things and beings hitherto disunited by sin in a combined state of fellowship and Christ in Christ. And I want you to know, old Satan would like to tear this assembly up this morning. Wouldn't nothing please him any better for us to have some disruption right now? It wouldn't anything please him any better. I want you to know, old Satan wants us to be tore up. He wants us to go against each other. He's got all these people out here in the world. He's not worried about that. I'll tell you who he's after. He's after this old boy right here, and he's after you. Why? We're not in his kingdom. We're separated from it. And he would. But he here. Now he says here that he might get in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, that is everything in heaven and earth shall be united under the rule of Christ. The government of Christ on earth is the kingdom of rule of heaven extended to earth. And I've told you many times, and I'll tell you again this morning, if you want to know what heaven's going to be like, this is just a taste of it. I'll tell you what, we can be here this morning. My mind's not on any of my daily cares out here. My mind's not on any problems I've got in this life. My mind's not on this body of mind, what it is. This mind of mine is free. A mind is free from all that thing, and he's provided that for us. Yes, sir, that we might hear by that, and we are brought together. And I want you to know, all those ancient men of old, all those saints that passed on, right on down the present time, right on to the end of time, we're all gathered together in one. Old man come along, he wasn't satisfied with it. A Walmart store down there on Hefner Road, we passed it last night, Francis and I did, and it's got up there the Master's Church. Some kind of foreign denomination. Some man started that. I want you to know, friend, all these denominations, some man started it. Man didn't start the Church of Christ. I'm going back to the day of Pentecost. I'm going back to Acts, the second chapter. And there's where I'm talking to you about this morning that was established on that day that God established, that one he's going to gather together in one all things. And I want you to know that that comes right on down. When we pray to God, we pray through Christ. The Holy Spirit's within us. We'll notice it in a few minutes. And he translates that to God, and it's all there. And I want you to know that's the way that God wanted it to be and that he said that it should be. All right? Let's go on to the next verse now. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. What? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. There it is again. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, there are people today that say that you are predestinated. When you're born, You're either predestinated to go to heaven or hell. I want somebody to tell me why that Christ died for all these people in order that might be saved. Why did he die for that man that's going to be lost and can't save himself? Why did Christ shed his blood for him? Isn't that stupid for somebody to believe that? Why would Christ shed his blood for something that wouldn't do any good? Yes, sir. So what's done? He has predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after his own will. Now, let me explain it like I did the other night. God predestinated that each one of us here, this group of people, would be saved. But he didn't predestinate that any individual here would be saved. That individual had to obey what God wanted him to obey, and then he becomes part of that predestinated group. That's the point. We've got to do our part. And he'll point that out. He'll point it out. You see what I'm talking about? That's what God done. He didn't say, when my great-grandson was born here a few months ago, that he'd be saved or lost. That wasn't predestinated. But there's a group that are predestinated, and that's the group that he looked forward to having. That's where was going to bring them together in one. Together in one. That group that's got to do their part. And that's where people are missing the mark. They don't realize something they've got to do. And it's commanded of God. And so we obtain. Now, that literal sense is we were designated as a heritage. Those who obey him was designated as a heritage. And they were provided here. And those who enter Christ are foreordained in accordance with the provision of God's will. So those that were preordained, it was God's will that they would be predestinated ones. They would be the ones, those that obey his will. Now the counsel is purpose, especially the purpose of God respecting the salvation of men through Christ. The counsel of his will. Now, he predestinated what man should do. Man should obey him. And he sent Jesus. And if Jesus had not died, there's no way that we could have remission of sins. Those people under the law, they couldn't have it. But when he did come, then they could. That was his pleasure. That's what he loved. That's what he desired. All right, let's notice verse 12. That we, plural, we should be the praise of his glory who first trust in Christ. Paul includes himself. And you know why? He was a Jew. We Jews. Yes, we trusted. That's to hope before, to repose hope in a person or thing before the event confirms it. This refers to Jews and includes Paul. We had faith in it. And I want you to know those Jews looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. They had faith he would come. Of course, a lot of them, when he come, they didn't want to accept him, and they didn't want to hear trust in him, but they should. Now notice verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. You know who that is? That's the Gentile. We, verse 12, Jews. 13, Gentile, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Woo, what a powerful verse. What powerful teaching. Ye Gentile Christians, we should notice how constantly the apostle keeps in view the faith which accompanies and conditions all these great benefits. I want you to know faith here, as it points out, they trusted, had faith there. That is very important. You know, people say, oh, you don't have faith, you don't believe in faith. I'll tell you what, we believe in faith a lot stronger than they do. Yes, sir, a lot stronger. They believe all we got to do is say, Lord, enter my heart, save me, and they can just do what don't do, rest of life. No, that's not it. We have faith to obey him. We believe what he said, and so forth. So he says now that we might do this after that you heard truth. When do you have the faith? When did that faith become realized? After you heard the truth, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I want you to know you got to obey the gospel. I'll guarantee you can go out here and talk to a lot of people and you can tell them they need to obey the gospel. So obey the gospel. What are you talking about? What is the gospel? I've had people actually tell me that. Obey the gospel. What's the gospel? They're that ignorant on the Bible. Yes, sir. That's the salvation. That's for, after we believe. Now notice this. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, let's notice that for just a moment. Sealed. To set a seal upon. Mark with a seal. To seal. Example. I gave the letter sealed to the messenger. Very often, I get a letter here that's handed to me. That letter's handed to me and it's sealed. It's sealed. That's what the Holy Spirit does. You know what that assures? That is to assure that the contents of that letter is there. And it's sealed there for that particular person. I have no right to open any piece of mail or a letter that belongs to somebody else. Yes, sir. I have no right to. Unless they give me permission to. That's what that Holy Spirit is. That sealed us, that in us. And we're sealed with that Holy Spirit. And people say, well, you believe the Holy Spirit dwells in us? Well, I'm sealed with it, I do. I want you to know if there's any scripture in the Bible that proves the Holy Spirit dwells in us. No, not in a miraculous way. I can't do miracles. I can't talk in tongues. I can't raise the dead. I can't do anything. I was talking to a holiness preacher, and he was just confirming that believe he could speak in tongues and everything. And we got talking, and I told him about our missionary in Zambia. And he said, well, sir, we got a man that's going over to a certain country. We're going to sponsor him. And said, he's going to school now. Said he's learning that language so he can converse with them and understand them everything when he gets there. I said, I thought you said that you believe in speaking in tongues. I said, the Apostle Paul could went over there and never studied nothing and spoke to him. Oh, he didn't know what to say. But he had to go study the language. And yet he claims he's speaking in tongues. Proof's in the pudding, folks. Proof's in the Bible. Yes, sir. And we've been sealed with that. And that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, promise, the act of promising, a promise given or to be given, the promised Spirit. Now, follow me closely. I believe from the depth of my heart that I can fall from grace and I can be eternally lost. But I also believe that as long as God and Christ, Holy Spirit, dwell in me, I let the Word dwell in me, that I can save myself, and no person, no human being can cause me to be lost if I'll stay with it. But we've got to stay with it. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life, Paul, or John says in a revelational letter. And so we have this now here. And he says, been sealed. All right, let's notice verse 14. Which is the earnest, that Holy Spirit, of inheritance unto the redemption of all of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, earnest, that is, money which in purchase is given as pledge that the full amount will subsequently be paid. In other words, it's that as earnest. Every house I've bought, I've had to make a loan on it. I come to Oklahoma City in 1965. Got up here one morning about 8 o'clock, and before noon, I had signed an agreement to buy a house at 10520 North McKinley. You know what I'd done? I wrote out some earnest money. I wrote out a check, forgot how much. And I put that down as earnest. You know what that assured me? It assured me that that realtor or nobody else could buy that house. It sealed it for me. And if I wanted to keep it, I could. But I could give it up. I would have lost my money, but I could have given it up. That's what the Holy Spirit dwelling in us is. It assures us, and as long as we have it in our hearts, we cannot be lost. Notice that statement there. I didn't say that we cannot be lost, but I said as long as we keep that, be thou faithful unto death. And that's what's been given us as that assurance. And we have that through this word right here, and that word dwelling in our hearts. And we know that we can have that. Now, inheritance is properly received or to be received by inheritance, which is given one as a possession. Now, God gives me that. And then when the time comes. Now, we have eternal life now in promise. I had that house in promise. But when I closed, then I had it. I have eternal life now in promise. And when this spirit leaves this old body here, I'll have it. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you what, that'll take fear out of death. That'll take it out of death. Oh, I've seen so many people, you know, they were lost because they didn't obey the gospel. They didn't obey God's plan. They had no hope, and so forth. So that redemption, the redemption which will come to his possession, or the men who God's own, or through Christ, purchase possession, a preserving, preservation, his grace having done its work, all issues to the praise of his glory. And you know what this is all for? The glory of God. I want you to know something, folks. God is glorified this morning that we come together. God is glorified when we're out here in the world and live the Christian life. God is glorified. Yes, sir. God is glorified. And I'm going to tell you something. You go out here, you dress like a Christian should dress, you talk like a Christian should talk, you act like a Christian should act, and you keep that, and I'll tell you what, the world will see you're different. I'll guarantee you they'll see you're different. Yes, sir. We see many examples of it, Francis and I do nearly every day, of people asking us different things. You walk into a place somewhere, see somebody, and the men say, how long y'all been married? This past week, right down here at Deaconess Hospital, Deaconess Building, Francis had to go down there about her eye, get it checked. And somebody there said, how long y'all been married? Never seen before in our life. What caused them to ask that? Yes, she had on a dress. She was neatly dressed. I didn't have on no shorts, and I didn't have on no thing exposing my body and all that stuff, and we were acting like we should. I want to tell you something, folks, there's a difference. And we just might as well come to the face of the facts of the matter, and that's what it is. We're his own purchased possession to the praise of his glory, and God is glorified, and this is to it. All right, verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Now, on this account, the expression faith among you indicates that it was of a marked degree. This faith resulted in love exhibited toward all the saints. And so he says that this had been. And now he said, wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints. Isn't it good to hear? We have people here that you go to different congregations and you come back and you tell us the love those people have, you don't know how much that means to us. And people come here and go tell other people about love we have for them. It really means a lot. That's something that our brotherhood has that I don't know of any other group of people have. We know people in churches all over the United States. Why? We stay in contact. We stay in contact. We should. We should know that. We know people of Macedonia, Corinth, so to speak. See what I'm talking about? So he told us that we might do this. Verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making me for you in my prayers. And so Paul prayed for them. We're taught in scriptures, pray always. We have prayers in our regular services and different things and so forth. Okay, now let's come to verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What? What'd you say? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This brings out the dependence of the Lord Jesus upon the Father. I want you to know, folks, Jesus Christ depended upon God. When he was there on the cross, suffering, said to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was dependent upon God. Don't I have to be so much more dependent upon him? Depend upon God? God help me. God give me wisdom. God protect me. God help me learn. Help me be spiritually minded. Yes, sir. He realized that. Father of glory. It's the Father whom glory belongs. Wisdom. Full intelligence, revelation, an uncovering, a laying bare, making naked, a spirit received from God, disclosing what and how great are the benefits of salvation. Follow me. Wisdom and revelation are special forms of the Spirit's operation. He imparts general illumination, wisdom, and special revelations of divine mysteries. The prayer was that God would give them a spirit of wisdom that they might understand the revelation, that they might acknowledge him as Lord. Do you ever ask God to give you understanding of what you study? Do you ever ask God to give you wisdom to use it right and apply it to your own life? I'll tell you what. That spirit can help us, folks. That spirit can help us more than anything. Let me pause to say something just here. You listening? Yes, sir. Last Monday morning, that man walked in there and killed 32 people himself. Houston, Texas, a man walked in there in a space center down there and shot a man dead. Schools, it happens everywhere. It's alarming. Where can you go where it's safe? Not in the schools. But I'll tell you what. I've got one of the safest guards there is. Yes, sir. And that's my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and my God. He's able to do it. I want you to know he is able. I'm driving down this road. He is able to protect me. I've got to do my part. Don't misunderstand me. But he's able to. And that's where my faith is. And I believe he will. I believe when we ask him and we keep his will, I believe he'll protect us. I don't have a gun. I wouldn't allow one in my house. A few years ago, a son-in-law, we lived down on McKinley. He hadn't known me very well, but he brought in a little deal there and opened it up there on our divider there in that old house, and those guns. And I just let him know that I just didn't want any guns in my house. I don't need them. I don't need a protection. I'll tell you, I've got one right there that's far above that. Yes, sir. He can cause something happen just like that to protect us. And he does. We never know it, but he does. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what. I'll never get whipped for being in another woman's arms at a dance hall. I'll never get killed for doing that. Because I'm not going to be there. You see what I'm talking about? Stay away from those places. Just stay away from her. And if you're someplace you can't resist temptation, just stay away from it. Something you can't resist, just stay away from it. I'm human. A few things I have to stay away from. They're not just out and out sin, but they could cause me to sin, so I just stay away from them. Yes, sir. You see what I'm talking about? That's our part. He's able to protect us. And I'm going to tell you something. You listening real good? So a lot of these tapes that people are getting and playing to their kids and letting their kids watch, that's bad. That's bad. That's the reason you're seeing these kids around. You see it on television and everything. And they'll tell you that's where they learn a lot of this stuff, is on that television and the parents letting them watch and everything. Yes, sir. It's there, folks. Deny it. Just deny it. It's fact. Even your worldly people are saying that now. I'm never on the television. And I don't intend to. I've never made it a test of fellowship. But I want to tell you something. I mean, there's people sitting right under the sound of my voice right now, and you're watching things on television you ought not be watching. You're getting these. I'm way behind, folks. Is it DVD? Is that something to play, you know, buy a tape or something, you know, and play it? Whoop. Buy a tape and watch it. See all that loving, I suppose, goes on. I hear people talking about it. I've never seen them. I don't watch it. You know why? That spirit of wisdom and revelation in me. Do you believe Jesus Christ watched some of that stuff? Do you believe he would? Come on. Come on, be honest. Folks, this is not hard preaching. This is just Bible. Do you believe it's all right to commit fornication? Do you believe it's all right to look upon a woman and lust after her? Do you believe it's all right to take a drink of alcoholic beverage? Do you believe it's all right to use slang words? Do you believe it's all right to be around people and associate with them and tolerate what they do and say? Do you? That's not his good pleasure. That's not his. So what he's given us is that knowledge of him. And I'll tell you what, knowledge is accurate, thorough, full knowledge. The knowledge of God's will, his blessings, and those things that he bestows upon us. Let's go ahead and anybody timing me? I'm timing myself. I want to notice one more verse. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The eyes of your understanding. That is, eyes of the mind, the faculty of knowing, understanding, the mind as a faculty of understanding, feeling, desiring, the eyes of your heart. What the eye is to the natural body, the mind is to the soul. Enlightened, to give understanding to, that respects the eyes of your soul. Here's what we have now. Regardless of how far Christians may have advanced in knowledge and love, there is an unfathomed depth of knowledge which they may still explore. I want you to know something. The most knowledgeable man of the Bible in this entire world right now, there are depths of knowledge still there that he doesn't know. And regardless of how much that I try to fathom the love of God, I can't do it. I can't imagine. I'm going to say something else. I can't imagine how much grace that God's bestowed upon us. You talk about grace, we don't touch the hem of the garment of grace, what God has done for us. Not only has he gave his son, I'll tell you, he created all these things. He created this body and everything, and he's done all that. And what has he done? Our average span of life is increasing all time. What has he done? They're treating people now that several years ago had been dead. If I lived 84 years at the end of 1922, if I'd lived that long, 1922 is when they discovered insulin, I'd been dead a long time ago. Grace of God. Yeah, grace of God. I'll tell you, we don't know what his grace is. And so they had that here. Now, the views, follow me closely, which men entertain of themselves and of God are narrow and wrong. I'm talking about people of the world. The understanding is enfeebled and perverted by the practice of sin. Yeah, it's perverted by that. One of the first effects of true religion, Christianity, is on the understanding. I want you to know one of the best effects on people, and one of the best effects that we can have on true Christianity is the Bible. I'll tell you what, there's many people tell you today that they thought they were right, but when they got to reading the Bible, they saw how wrong they really were. Why? It'll do it. Yes, sir. It'll do it. And that's what that understanding for. Now notice. First, it enlarges its views of truth. I have a lot different view of truth than I did when we started this congregation in Edmond. That's 1977, or 77, here met, started meeting 75. I have a lot broader view of it. It's a lot broader. It gives more exalted conceptions of God. I tell you what, I look at God a lot different than I did 5 years ago. I've learned a lot. I look at him a lot different. It corrects error. It'll correct error. It raises it up towards the great fountain of love, and certainly it does. Well, I'm going to hush. I'm just going to quit right there. I got a lot I'd like to say. And not because I'm saying, but I tell you, folks, when the truth's taught, we all just enjoy hearing it. Ought to. But I'm not going to go any further. I've talked a little longer than intended to. And I love to teach these things because they are the Word of God. If you're here this morning, you're not among this group that he's been talking about here. Some of you here, you know it. And you know what you ought to do, but you're not doing it. Why? Why? We love you. We want you to do it. We want to help you. That's our purpose. We want to help you. If you're here this morning, you've never obeyed the gospel, if you've heard it, believed it, repent, make good confession, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God, I'll take that confession. One of the brethren will baptize you in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit for remission of your sins. You can rise, walk, and use life, and add all the Christian graces to that life, and live for the Lord, be faithful unto death, and then you can have that eternal life. If you've obeyed that, you've strayed away, you've done things wrong, like make it right, public nature, we invite you to come, while we stand, while we sing.